Welcome to the Notorious Scoundrels, a Star Wars Legion podcast bringing you the latest news, general perspective, and competitive discussion.
Hey, and welcome back to the Notorious Scoundrels podcast. I'm Kyle. I'm here with Jay and Tim. What's up, gentlemen?
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo.
As you can see from our intro, we are tired.
Yeah.
this is a day late because of PAX. So we have some news items. This episode is sort of the calm before potentially the storm. They have said that we will get points on December 8th, which by the time you listen to this episode will be tomorrow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's going out on the 7th. Yep.
So we've already kind of speculated / given a wish list on points updates.
Yep.
So we're not going to do that today.
Nope.
Today's going to be kind of just a recap of our PAX experiences and overall recap of how things went at PAX.
Yep.
I'll see how long that takes us. If it's not that long,
yep,
we're not going to be sad. So,
nope.
All right. Before we get to any of that, you got some housekeeping for us, Jay?
Not really.
All right.
I mean, you guys know. Patreon, fifthtrooper.com, blah, 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 blah.
Yep. All right. Usually I use that time to sort of like formulate in my head how I'm going to do the opening to the
segment. I could talk about you know what you talk about. I'll talk about my experience at PAX outside of Legion while you think about our Legion topics.
Okay, please go ahead.
So so I had a great time at PAX. PAX Unplugged, it was the first Legion event I'd ever been to back in 2018, and to see where not only PAX has gone, but Legion has gone at PAX was great to see. I had a great time. You know, last week I talked about the Onslaught unboxing that I did, and that we're going to have more Onslaught content from WizKids. So WizKids was there demoing full demos of Onslaught, and a lot of people that play Legion played Onslaught and really loved it. So, you know, I recommend you guys check it out when it comes out in January. We're going to have more content on Onslaught so you can see it. You know, there's just it's all, cons are great. You know, like I love going to all the booths and seeing all the games and talking to all the cool people. A fan of mine, I guess I was gonna say ours, but I don't think it was ours, it was just mine. His name was Bill. He came up to me and he was saying something about how, you know, I got him into Legion and he connected because I have a family and he had a family, and like I always talk about how hard it is to do anything, you know, with kids. Kyle knows that too. And so he said, you know, that really got him and made him feel good about Legion. And he was wearing a shirt with my name on it that said, "I am a Jay Schalansky guy." So that was cool. You know, I've been looking in the trees outside my bedroom window just in case he's there, but I haven't seen him. But you know, just, it was fine. No, it was really nice and cool. I took a picture of him and, that was great. And, a lot of cool people there, like fans and a lot of people that know the podcast. Thank you all for saying hi and talking to us. You know, you're the heroes of podcasts, I guess, for listening. And you know, everything's good. And PAX is great. I like PAX. I like Philadelphia. The reading terminal across from the so there's this like market, for those of you that have never been. Tim, I'm guessing you've never been. There's the convention hall, and right across the street is like this indoor market that they've got like butchers and fresh vegetables, but then they also have all these restaurants. And everyone that I've talked to that lives in Philly says that market has the best food in all of Philly. And so I went there twice. It was delicious. I loved it. I went actually to a Jewish deli and got some delicious sandwiches. I had brisket one day, and then the next day Zane and I got Reuben's, which were like, oh my god, It's nothing like nothing I've ever had before. It was so good. And so, you know, lots of great food, lots of great people. It was nice. Got to hang out with the 5th Trooper crew and play some games and go out to dinners and just kind of like have a good time and a lot of good meetings with game companies and stuff. So it was just really nice. I had a wonderful time. Before we start talking about lists and how the games went and everything, I just want to really take a moment and shout out Nick from Legion 99. He literally is one of the best TOs that I think we have in the whole community, if not the best TO. He's got all his own terrain. He had like 30 some odd tables of terrain. They're all beautiful and amazing. And I think you could nitpick them, but you couldn't find like huge faults with them. He's a great, great player. He's doing a huge service to the community. And just because of that, I think you guys should go check out Legion 99 podcast and give them some support, because Nick and Keegan and Mike, they do a ton for the community. And just the amount of work Nick did at the event was mind-boggling. And he's amazing. So just huge shout out to Nick from Legion 99. Great, great job.
Yeah, I'm always impressed. This is the third Nick run event I've been to. The first one I was like I couldn't even comprehend the table quality. And every time it just the quantity of tables that he has keeps getting higher, and each one is just excellent, and the layouts are great too.
Yeah.
Like you said, you can probably nitpick with some, but I didn't play on a single table that I had problems with, frankly. And you know, listeners know that I'm sort of an infamous terrain critic, so that says a lot.
Yeah. There's nothing you could really like. I was helping him get all the terrain out and stuff out of his packs, and I was just looking at it, going, "Oh my god, this is good!" And like, you know, most of it's really clear when you get to the table, and you know, you could change a couple things up when you get to the table with the other player and be like, hey, we're going to treat this as light terrain that you can walk through or whatever. But for the most part, it was just beautiful. And it's all like painted, hand painted. He's painted not only is it great terrain and the tables are cohesive and look beautiful, all the work that he's put into it, hand painting it and making it all beautiful, is just mind boggling. Like solidly painted, not like, this is terrain, whatever, you know, no, like legit painted. It's crazy. So Nick, you're amazing. Keep up the good work. Everybody go support Nick and whatever he does, because he's awesome.
Seconded.
Moved.
Yeah, it was a great event. It was a great time. It was nice to see everybody. I'm glad I went. So.
I was sad I couldn't go, as always.
I'd also one other thing before we start talking, a couple of our Patreon, we had our Q&A right before PAX, and a couple of our Patreon supporters were on asking us questions about the event, like this was their first big event they were going to, and they were both in the top 15. And so I was really excited, A, to see them there in person, but for them to be able to do so well at a large tournament that they were definitely a little nervous about going in and asking a lot of questions from us. And we were talking about their lists and stuff. And so really happy for both of them for going in the top 15 and doing so well. So, you know, good job, guys.
Yeah, I'd encourage people that haven't been to tournaments and are thinking of getting into it to just like dive in head first.
Yep.
You know, these are like, yeah, they're tournaments and they're at conventions, so there's an expectation that you're going to have like played probably, you know, more than zero games of Legion, right? But also like they're very new player friendly, they're very welcoming. Most people in the Legion community are extremely nice, so please don't be intimidated by tournaments if you are new to the tournament scene.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Turns out hanging out with a bunch of nerds is a lot of fun.
Yeah. And this was something we said on the Q&A, but I'll say it here too. Even like the top level players, like even the really, really good players are super chill when you're playing them. And if you're like, hey, this is my first tournament, like they're not going to, you know, go at your throat, they'll probably help you a little bit. I know I do. Like, I'm like, you don't want to do that. That's not what you want to do, you know, or hey, you know, hey, you forgot that, trigger that, or, you know, whatever it is. I found that most of the community, 99.9% of the community, is pretty cool and chill. I don't think that'll be the same at Worlds, but I think, you know, all these other events, everyone is super chill and lets you take things back, or if you forget triggers, or, you know, no one's like punishing you for like making mistakes that are clearly something you would have done. You know what I mean? So yeah, I highly encourage you. If you've never been to a big event, you should for sure go to one.
All right. Should we get into the, I guess we can talk individually about our experiences and then just quick hit the top finishing lists.
Yeah. Well, since we know where you ended up, I can talk about my experience, I guess. So I brought, you ready for this, Tim? I brought double ATST, double Dewback, to my old double heavy list. I did well. I went 2-1. I ended up dropping after day one. I couldn't make day two, but I mean, I did exactly what I needed to do, which was beat Johnny Bushfax. And I did. So, you know, the first round I played a Separatist Invasion list. He had an AAT and a bunch of B1s and two Magna Guard, and that was interesting. You know, just a note to everyone out there, ATSTs eat AATs for breakfast, so don't put them up too far in the range of the ATSTs, because they've each got impact 4. And so, yeah. the first salvo, actually, I had a really lucky roll. I ended up so it was 9 dice. I was at range 3 with my twin blasters, and it was 9 dice, and I ended up rolling 5 crits. And then you're on mute, Kyle.
Sorry, 5 natural crits.
Yep. And
so,
then
so impacts 9, basically.
Yep, I got all 9 okay. through. Yeah. So I think that put him down to that put 6 wounds after saves on him, and then he healed 2 with a bot. But then the other ATST came through and rolled pretty well as well on top of that. And then I think a Dewback finished it off with a T21. But you know, great game. He actually won best painted. His army was beautiful, beautiful. All the bases were the same. The only problem I had, and this isn't a critique or criticism, it's a criticism, but not a critique of his painting or anything, is that he in order to keep his army all the same, like everything was the same, and he numbered the bottom of the bases of the B1s like underneath, so he would have to like flip them over to see, you know, which was not ideal for the game. But it was ideal for him winning number 1 for best painted. So I mean,
I actually have can we go on a tangent real quick?
Yeah.
Because this was actually a topic of discussion in the main Discord recently. It was basically like how important it is to differentiate your units, and how do you do that? And also, how do you do that in a way that doesn't like mess up your paint scheme?
Yeah.
You know, I've heard of people do the paint the base rims thing. I personally think that looks kind of funny.
That's what I do. But I also don't do primary colors. I do like, if my bases are like browns, I do like different shades of brown, so that it's somewhat subtle but very easy to tell when they're right beside each other.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's good, because then you don't have the Skittles colors. Not that there's anything wrong with the Skittles colors.
It's great for gameplay.
Yeah. But, you know, if you're trying to win like a best painted, there are ways to do squad differentiation in a way that is not obtrusive to your paint scheme, I think. You can do symbols on the units. You can do there are lots of, not for stormtroopers, but for almost everything else, there are lots of like different colored cannon paint schemes that you can use. Like the droids have, I mean, B1s have a ton, but they have like a lot of them have like colors across their shoulders.
Yep.
So I did my B1s with different colored units and then I did the shoulders, and it looks like pretty natural, and you can still tell the difference between the units. I've heard of people do like slightly different bases, you know, will they do like grass tufts on one and then like a mix of grass tufts and like brown tufts on another kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different ways you can do it, but I will say it is important to do it. And congrats to this guy for winning Best Painted. That is a lot of effort, especially with B1s. Yeah. I've seen pictures of his army and his AAT. They look fabulous.
Yeah.
But please, for the sanity of your opponents, make, and yourself, really, because, you know, when you're picking up units and their models and stuff from your units, you need to know which ones they come from.
Yeah.
You know, come up with a different way where you don't have to pick up the models to tell which units they belong to.
And I'll say he was fast, and it didn't really interrupt the game too much. And I mean, you know, he deployed and moved in a way where he kept things for the most part. Yeah. So I could tell, you know, I think I may have asked once or twice, you know, over, but it wasn't enough to like bother, like even register in my head. But yeah, no, great game, great guy, beautiful army. So that was a ton of fun. Then round two, I got paired up against Johnny B, Johnny Bushfax. And
revenge game.
Yeah, and it was double ATST, double Dubek does really well against Rebels. So,
yeah, John was running Leia,
Luke, Lando.
Okay,
yeah, and then the way it worked, we were doing key positions, and basically how the map setup was, he had to kind of hide his whole army behind like this one building, and I literally just walked my ATSTs up and was just shooting over the building at all this stuff, you know. And Luke came out. Oh, that was the thing. There was a Dubek that I had that he just could not kill. Like he couldn't kill. Luke came out and tried to hit the Dubek and kind of whiffed. The Dubek hit Luke back and put him down to one wound. And then we did a one pip and a roll off, and I won. So the dupe John won. And what he did was he was going to force push the dupe back into his standby gun line. And so he did that, and the dupe back took 6 shots, even from the other dupe back, because he did serve your master or whatever, and blocked everything. And only had 2 wounds, 1 or 2 wounds left. So he just couldn't kill the Dubek. And then I killed Luke, and you know, it just went downhill from there. But yeah, he just couldn't get enough to the key position after that. And even with killing that one Dubek, like everything else was, he didn't even end up killing that Dubek. So like I didn't lose a single model, and it was just really frustrating for him. And I got it. And just one of those games, you know, he did everything he could the right way, and just my Dubek just would not die. So needless to say, I was feeling really good going into the next round. But I really messed up. So I was playing against a Shadow Collective list, and when we were doing I for some reason in my head I thought it was blue player. So when we were picking the deck, I picked a very advantageous for me, like if I was blue player, but he was actually blue player. And so I was like playing a little bit behind to begin with. But man, he was playing the Maul. It was like 4 Pikes with Capos, 2 of the Black Suns, and then 3 Capo. Yeah, 3 Capo Commanders, I think was what it was. 8th place. Michael Henry. Yeah. And so it was miserable. Like I just couldn't kill anything. There was times some of his pikes had like 5 dodges on them, and like they just weren't in cover, and I was like, okay, like 2 hits would go through, and then he would like, you know, he had danger sense, and then he would like erase crits, and I was just like, this is miserable. And then he was really smart. He actually used Maul to tie up my back line, which was my snipers, which would have helped get through some of that dodge, you know, but it just, I couldn't, the Dubeks and the ATSTs just could not get through. And so, yeah, he really spanked me. Like I probably would have lost all my snipers and two of my core units. I had three naked storms and three snipers. But my like dewbacks and my ATSTs were just like going hard at the rest of his army. And I just could not. I think maybe I took out one unit and maybe two, but it was just like impossible to kill anything. He played really, really great. Don't get me wrong. He played an amazing game. But like, dude, like the dodge spam is so bad in that list. Like I knew it was bad. I just had never played against this Shadow Collective list like that, you know? And I think I had gotten like Maul down up to like four or five wounds. Like, and I felt pretty good, 'cause it's just like basically punching him with like stormtroopers and like doing some like, you know, withdraw shoot and then run in with another unit and punch him. And then he did like witch magic that sucked. And like, it was just like, I couldn't kill anything, man. It was just like so demoralizing.
That's Shadow Collective, man.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Right.
I'm so glad I didn't have to face that list, because if there's a natural predator or blizzard, it's that one.
Yeah. And I think if I didn't mess up the whole beginning of blue red thing in my head, it could have gone a little bit better, but I don't think, based on how it was going, like I did, you know, having nine dice going into a unit that's got five dodges, like it just doesn't matter, you know? And that with two suppression, and you're just like, all right, like what am I gonna do here? You know, so you had you would have to cover from the suppression. So that's five dodges, so six go away. So you got three coming through, plus he's rolling danger sense, usually blocking one or two. Dude, it was just like,
yeah.
Okay.
When you slap something with an ATSD, it feels like it should do more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, listen, I felt great being back with my double heavies. Like, I don't think I'm going to be playing around anymore. I think this is what I'm going to be playing for a variation of double heavy, because it just feels right to me. I really like it. I like playing it. So I just got to figure out that. But, you know, I would love to see some sort of like blast or something on the ATST just to like help them out a little bit with that main gun, you know.
Or just less dodges on pikes.
Yeah, that would work too. But yeah, no, so that was my three games. And then I had to drop because I had to drive back the next day. But like, I had a great time. I had a ton of fun. I forgot how, like, what it's been a year, right? Just about a year since I've been not playing double heavies. So yeah. It was the first time I've played it in a year, and it felt really good to be back and
back in the warm embrace of the Empire.
Yeah, a lot less thinking. You just like put them in the front with the dewbacks and go, I don't know, good luck. And you know, like whoever wins, wins. Like this is happening. So yeah. So that was good. Great time. I had a good time. And just to be clear, I beat John. So everybody knows. John has been defeated.
By you.
Boss man has to stay on top.
That's right.
Yep.
I loved in our chat and Discord, Tim, was it you? Somebody was like, Jay beat John, like the most surprising thing like that's ever happened.
I think I was going through the results at like 2 a.m. and just was like, oh, put it. And then I woke up, I was like, that might have been a little bit mean, but
yeah, our whole team was just like shocked. Yeah, by the way, everybody, I'm actually all right at this game.
Like, I wasn't shocked. I believe in you.
Thanks, buddy.
I also didn't look at either person's list. I just looked at the result. The list. The list was like, ah, oh, okay, I can see that.
Oh, so now it's the list. It's not me. Wow, Tim.
Well,
you're
no,
real
but...
son of a gun. Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, it's well, the list. You're right. Yeah. It was just because of the list. You're fired. All right, go ahead, Kyle. Tim, just sign off. You're done.
Okay.
Yeah, so I brought Blizzard Force. It was
boo.
Yeah, well, yes, boo. I partly did this to kind of just prove a point, because there was a non-zero percentage of people that were like, well, Blizzard Force hasn't won anything, it must not be that good. And I was like, okay, let's
hold my beer.
Yeah, right. So I took the Vader quad bike version, which is the same one that I have been running for Invader. Which, by the way, unfortunately, I had to drop from today. So good luck to all the other Elims people. Oh. So also why I wasn't on the cast last week, I got a concussion in a car accident. So screens right now for me are not great. And the perspective of sitting in front of TTS for 3 hours multiple times potentially is not very appealing. So so good luck to everyone else and to Tim, to you and Evan from who are still in from Fifth Trooper. Where was I? PAX, Blizzard Force. I had Vader with Choke and Push and Tenacity, Officer with Improv, four bikes with emergency transponders, two of the Storm HRUs with the RT-97 and the DLT, and then two Naked Snows, and that's it. 24 point bid. It was one of those things, like, you make the list with all the units you want, it comes out to 760, which is a 40 point bid, and that's basically without everything except for the Tenacity Innovator and then the transponders. And then I'm like, well, I don't need a 40 point bid, you know, like Blizzard definitely is great with blue deck, but you don't need 40 points to secure blue deck. So I took Tenacity and the transponders and ended up with a 24 point bid. So I'm sorry, Tenacity is factored into that 40 point bid because four transponders is 16. So
Improv also.
Oh yeah, Improv. Well, I would consider Improv to be not a luxury upgrade in that list. Okay. So and the transponders, frankly, were great. I'm actually really glad that I took them. I've run a version with a medic instead of transponders, and that's been less consistently useful. It's one of those things, like, it's super useful if you get a heavy scoped or something like that, or if Vader takes some earlier wounds for some reason, but if that doesn't happen, it's like, whatever. I guess I'm going to bring back a random Naked Snowtrooper.
So the really funny thing is, in our live Q&A on our Patreon, which we do once a month on Patreon, one of the questions was for you, and you, unfortunately, you weren't there. And it was basically almost identical list that you brought to PAX, and says, why doesn't Kyle play something like this? And I was trying to explain why you use the medic, you know, why you like the medic. And so he, like, hit me up today and was like, yeah, about that. I thought you said Kyle wouldn't run that. And I'm like, listen, man, I did the best that I could in the Q&A. That was funny that you had that. So,
well, and I've actually run both. So I ran the transponder version back in round robin for Invader, and then I ran the medic version for regional elims for Invader. And having done both of them, I think that I like the transponders better, and that's what I ran at PAX too. And they're just more consistently useful. Like, there's always going to be a turn where you got a double move and shoot with a bike, and that's the turn where you want a free aim.
Yep.
Because those dice pools are great, but they're also super swingy. So, you know, the bike dice pools benefit a lot from aims. And that 4 points is essentially like offensive push for a turn for your bikes. So
it helps lean into what the list wants to be doing more of. It's just more min-maxing, whereas the medic is your hedge upgrade instead of a do more upgrade.
Yeah, and the 24-point bid, people were like, wow, that is a lot. It is. I faced somebody with a 19-point bid, so it was necessary. And that was Brendan Smith. And he pretty much, my understanding from talking to him, was that he was bidding so that he could avoid facing Blizzard Force using their blue deck. So,
I mean, he called his list inglorious bid with a 19-point bid, and then got the bid. Whoops.
So I was very glad to be blue in that game, because one of the ways to beat Blizzard is to outbid it, which is, I think, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but I think probably the almost single-handed reason that we've seen bids increase is Blizzard Force.
Yep.
Okay.
No.
Maybe.
I mean, it's Blizzard Force is like, I bid 24 in
I'm gonna be honest with you, I think that's just like a high level competitive thing. I don't think that's like a across the
okay
right, because what we're I don't know that we have this data right now, unfortunately, because we're going through a TO software transition. Right. But you know what, like,
let me
19, were those the highest bids? Like, what was the next highest? You know, I'd be curious to see, like, because I don't think people are bid into, like,
well, the average was 10, right, Tim?
Well, so I did the average of the top 8 for this.
Okay.
And it was 11.875, so
yeah,
just under 12. Okay,
which is pretty high.
Yeah, that, yeah, okay.
And that's also, like, there are, like, it was a bit of, like, as we've often seen, a bit of a, like, split where you have a lot of lists clustered around, like, 0 to 2 point bids, and then, like, a lot of lists, like, 12, 13 plus point bids.
I wonder, though, okay, so, all right, that's a good topic, right? Like, is it because of Blizzard Force, or is it because the list, how can I word this? Like, so, for instance, that Cassian K2 list I had was, like, I forgot what it was, 20 point bid or something like that, right? Like, something ridiculous. Because it needs to have the choice because of how the list is built. Like, I need to be able to choose whether it's table or blue. I need my deck. So do you think it's because of Blizzard Force or because the list meta, quote unquote, not that there's really one, but where lists are right now is that you need that choice? Does that make sense? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, I get it. I think that it is because of whether you want to say specifically it's Blizzard Force or not. I think just based at least on a time scale with data, you can say that it is something that happened in the Battle Force release.
Yeah,
because
that's fair.
You know, a little over a year ago, we got the blue-red changes. Mm. And for the first 6 months of 2022, bids were extremely low, like 5 or less, very consistently. Mm. And then we got the Shadow Collective / Battle Force releases right around the same time. And bids have been, I would say, rather quickly creeping back up again. So at least data-wise, something in that release has increased bids, having nothing to do with the dynamics of blue and red player. Since those changes occurred, and then bids immediately went down and stayed that way for 6 months.
Okay.
And then the players that I've spoken to that are bidding, you know, 12 plus, if they're not playing Blizzard Force, they have said that one of the primary reasons they're bidding is because they don't want to be red against Blizzard Force. So at least anecdotally, with, you know, with the competitive players I've spoken to, that's the case.
Okay, that's fair. Which is, well, I just find it funny because what, it was 3-4 Blizzard Force in total at PAX out of 60, originally 64 players.
Yeah, and all of them were top 8.
But also other Empire were top 8 too, right?
Well, yeah, I know, but, like, yes, only 3 people brought Blizzard Force to PAX, but all 3 of those people were 4-1 or better.
So was that the top 3? Yeah, that's the top 3, right?
No, it was 2 of the top 3.
Two of the top 3. Okay.
I forget which.
Tim wrote a wonderful article on the top 8 on our website.
Blizzard Force is in 6th place. Third place and first place.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, we slightly buried the lead. I did win the tournament with Blizzard Force. There was actually some concern that there would be multiple 5-0s, which is I think kind of a likelihood when you have only 5 rounds and 60 or more players, or even 50 or more players, and we ended up with 56.
56, yeah.
The pair down lost twice. So there were 7 3-0s going into day 2. The pair down lost in the first round. So then there were 3 4-0s going into the last round. And then the pair down lost in that round also, which meant that there was only 1 5-0, which was me. So I didn't expect there to be 1 undefeated, but luckily it turned out that way, because it's always sort of awkward when you have to, like, tiebreak multiple undefeated players, especially for a major tournament like this one. I mean, what can I say? Blizzard Force is really good. HREs need to be like 15 more points. I'm not exaggerating. I think,
yeah,
I would probably start the conversation at 12. And I say this as someone that has played Blizzard Force a lot recently. So I don't know what else to say besides that. I don't, you know, people have been like, well, make it so they can only take 3 bikes. As someone that bought 4 bikes, that feels kind of bad.
That's not really the problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's exactly one type of unit that can only go in Blizzard Force. So
yeah.
If you want to hit Blizzard Force, hit that unit.
Right.
Right. Like it seems like a fairly simple, at least to me. Right. But, if you have one archetype that's a problem and you have an easy way to hit that archetype,
yeah,
do that.
Right.
Well, we've mentioned this before, right? It's strange that it's the only battle force that actually got a brand, quote unquote, brand new unit. So yeah, I think you're right, Tim. Right? Like that's the obvious target. Like,
well, and you go all the way back to Lucas's data article that he did shortly before, like TTO died, basically. And I remember even back then, looking at his data, the unit with the single highest win rate, when you do win rate by unit, was the Storm HRU, and it was like 75%. And people were like, "Nah, give it time. You know, like it's still really new. Like that'll even out." I think unfortunately we probably won't be able to do like a proper analysis of the intervening time period because of the TTO data loss. But I'll be curious. I mean, I guess we'll see what happens on Thursday tomorrow by the time you listen to this. But like if Blizzard Force doesn't get touched, which I think is kind of possible, you know, we've talked about the possibility that like they could just be like, well, Battle Forces and Shadow Collective are too new, so they're not going to be part of this update. If that's a thing that happens, A, I'm probably playing Blizzard Force for LVO, but B, hopefully we will get some good, you know, data from Game Uplink once that becomes a thing. I know.
Working on it.
I know that you guys have other priorities besides determining which Legion units have high win rates. Once we start accumulating data on that again, I think that it will show the same thing. Just my personal experience, I've played at this point, I've played 13 games with Blizzard Force, and I've lost one to Bobette, who's the number one invader player. And then I beat him in a separate game, also with Blizzard Force. So, and like most of those games have not been close. I think they do, you know, dodge spam, they're not great into, but that's another thing that probably needs to get nerfed anyway. So, the fact that they're like not great into the other Alpha Predator in the meta, I don't know how relevant that is. So yeah, I don't know.
I mean, listen, as much as I just said, I'm going to keep with my double heavies. I think that if they don't touch or nerf or do anything to Shadow Collective, I would probably try to play a Shadow Collective list at least once, because I mean, it was just incredible. Like it was unbelievable what it was doing. And I don't even know that he, you know, Michael was really like pushing the boundaries. He was doing great and he was doing what he's supposed to do, but like I was even like thinking about other stuff, like, oh, what if you did this here, what if you did that there. I'm like, that would be impossible to kill them, and you know, and I was just like, oh my god, like so I don't know. Interesting.
No list is better at attrition, and it's not close. The one game that he lost was to Mike Berry, and you know, Mike is a very good objective player. Obviously, it was one of those games. I walked up to their table when they were almost done, and the table was just covered in pikes. Like, and Mike's entire army was on the side, and I almost didn't like further investigate. And I'm glad that I did, because when I walked up there, I was like, "Oh wow, this is very lopsided looking." And then I saw that Mike was playing Anakin Padme. Anakin and Padme were both still alive. And he had one unit of naked pikes also still alive in the back. Anakin had two boxes on recover, and the naked unit of pikes had the third box. it was one of those recovery games where, like, you know, you can still win just by being canny with the boxes. Yeah. And that's exactly what Mike did. But, like, on attrition, you know, even the game that that the Shadow Collective player lost, Michael was you know, not close on attrition, let's put it that way.
Yeah,
well,
he didn't lose that game because he lost Pikes.
the interesting thing out of Michael's list, when I was going through the list, so he has two Black Sun Enforcers with just the Beagle upgrade, which one gives them their courage, so yeah, their courage two, and they're like not going to run away likely. But also, like, that's a 66 point unit that'll shoot 5 black, 5 white at range 2 with an precise aim with a surge. Yep. Like, they're basically super beefy fleet troopers, right? They get excellent objectives. They have Dauntless and Courage too. But also, if they get close, they're going to slap you. And also, they have a red save with a surge available every turn. Like, good.
And they are. They're really good. And the way he has that list built, it's so that, like, you know, like, listen, I get the 6 pike, whatever list, right? But, like, I think having those two in there allows you for that 10 activations with Maul and 3 Capos commanders, right? Like, so you're doing all this dodge spam stuff with your other pikes, and then those the enforcers are kind of just punishing you for, like, trying to, like, melee or get up close to the pikes, you know. And so I think I haven't faced the other 6 pike lists, but, like, in theory, this one seemed more sound because you had a little bit more, it's like more Swiss Army knife, you know, like, you had some other options. Sure, you weren't doing the spam all to the max, but you have all these other options kind of at your disposal, which I think did very well against, like, my list, which is which can be very overwhelming if you've if you don't have enough, like, resources to deal with it.
Sorry, go ahead.
The 6 pike list also tends to spread, like, everything has some dodges, but when you only have 4 pikes with 3 capos, the 4 pike squads are going to have a lot of dodges. And that's often a way that I've been able to, like, get a foothold against, like, 5 or 6 pikes. Is, like, you just, okay, they stuck their nose out with one unit a little too far, and maybe they're, like, too far away from 1 or 2 of their capos, and you just shoot them. Because eventually they run out of dodges. Whereas in 4 units with 3 capos, like, they're going to run out of dodges way slower.
You can concentrate the dodges more. It also gives you a little more positional autonomy with those two units, because if you've got 6 pikes, you kind of want to keep all 6 of those pikes near your capos. But if you've got 4 pikes and 2 Black Sun, those Black Sun are Courage 2. You can use them to drop them as rapid reinforcements. If you run into that, you can, if you get disarray, you can drop them in the disarray zone and not feel bad about it. So you can go around a flank or something with them. So I like it a lot.
It's so nasty. And then, like, dude, like, the discretion card too. Like, dude, are you kidding me with this? Like, it's just like, like, I knew it. And it's funny, right? Because I think we talk and we, you know, we always, like, theory crafting around stuff. But, like, when you really face this stuff and you, like, see somebody like Michael, who plays it very well, like, in action, and you're just like, right. Like, I knew about it and I knew it was coming, but I didn't see it coming, if that makes any sense.
It's different to experience it for yourself. Yeah.
And
it's like watching somebody get slapped in the face on TV versus actually being the person slapped in the face.
Yeah. And I think too, when you're like, especially in my like example where I had two games where my list performed exactly the way it was supposed to, and it did everything and then to, like, face it against another list and it just didn't do anything. And you're just sitting there going, oh, like, yeah, no, I can't. There's literally nothing that I have to keep trying, but by, like, I think the end of turn 2, I knew I had lost. Like, I was just like, oh yeah, this game's over. Like, but I'm gonna still try to kill some pikes, but this game's over, you know.
Yeah. So I do want to quickly hit the top 8 since you wrote about that, Tim, and we should discuss that from a high level perspective. I just quickly want to give a shout out to my last opponent, which turned out to essentially be, like, the final. I'm going to butcher your name if I try and say the whole thing. He said that it was essentially the Polish version of Nicholas. So that's what I'm going with. That's what I called him. He's also Mickey on the Discord. He brought Blizzard Force also. And he flew all the way from Poland for this tournament. So congrats, Mickey, for doing so well at a, you know, flying all the way to the US and then doing well against a bunch of US players. His variation basically was that he had a Flamer Snow instead of like the transponders. And our game was super close. It basically, you know, it came down to a priority roll on turn five. Our Vaders were like right next to each other in the middle of the table. I had already used Vader's Might because he had pushed earlier in the game to set up like a Master of Evil, and I had to Vader's Might him away, or he was going to be able to Master of Evil my entire army and then like kill my commander, my generic, at the same time, which would have been super bad. So I had to burn Vader's Might basically to prevent that. So that was a really smart play to do that, for him to set up Master of Evil that way. So he had Vader's Might on turn five and I did not. And there was a crashed lat right in the middle of the table. So I'm like, oh no, he is going to play Vader's Might and he's just going to dump my Vader on top of this lat and he's going to be out the rest of the game. So I had to play Implacable. I won that priority roll. We were on breakthrough Hendon. So, you know, he had scoring units moving towards my zone. I had scoring units moving towards his zone. And then our Vaders were kind of like in the middle of the two. I was able to, since I won priority roll, Vader was able to get like into the soft underbelly of his scoring units and hack him up. And then, you know, his Vader went over to mine, but at this point I had more bikes alive. So I was able to kind of donut around Vader and avoid him a little bit while he chased the stormtroopers. So I ended up winning on breakthrough. But it was essentially that priority roll, you know, super close.
Yeah.
Great decisions by Mickey the whole game. So, because if he dumps Vader on top of that lat, and then his Vader goes into my storms and I don't get a chance to like hack up his soft underbelly with mine, then that game potentially goes very differently. So, yeah.
Mickey also, like, so he put into the fray on his operative Vader and dropped Darkness Descends for Debark for Ground Assault.
Yep.
Which is a interesting choice.
I like it. I think it's interesting.
Especially when you're pretty confident your Vader's going to get into your opponent's lines pretty quickly. Which for Operative Vader is more likely than Commander Vader.
Yep.
And of course, you can't put into the frame on Commander Vader anyway. But that, like, I mean, all three cards for Blizzard Force are super good. And the only reason you don't ever take, like, you don't always take all three is you have Vader.
Right.
So there's always a choice there, especially on the 3-pip.
Yeah, and he used it to get like a super long range move shoot with his HRUs on some of my bikes, and it was pretty devastating. So,
because you can, your threat range goes to like 5.5 and a third.
Yeah, it's high.
Yeah,
I'd like to, it becomes impressive too.
Yeah,
I think the big one for me was Evan coming in fifth with a 20
with the 2019 list.
2019
yeah,
Krennic Bossk gunline. Like, Evan, Evan's like the Manchurian candidate, where like he was just playing for a while and then something like turned on inside his brain and now he's like at least a top five contender in every major tournament.
Yeah, he's really good and he just like refuses to believe it or acknowledge it. It's like, Evan, you're good at Legion, man. Like,
no.
he was just using Bossk as a like another gunline piece basically, right?
Yeah. Do you wanna real quick run down the top eight there, Tim? Yeah.
Do you wanna start there? Or do you wanna start from the top?
Do it like in the order you did in the article, from bottom to top.
Easy peasy. Do you want like list rundowns too, or just names?
Just both, but okay. Like quickly both.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the eighth place was Michael Henry, who we've discussed pretty at length already. So
yeah, that's the Shadow Collective list.
That's the Shadow Collective to Black Sun,
yeah.
Maul, blah blah blah. Jordan, Luminous Gaming Smith. This is the one Rebel that made the top eight, and then he has a whole lot of stuff. He called the list Furry Beskar. Rebel officer, Din Djarin, no Grogu, brought the rifle and the jetpack and flame projector. Sabine with most of her stuff, including the Darksaber and electric grappling line. And then we have a unit of shooty wooks with offensive push and targeting scopes. And then just a bunch more guns. Two Rebel vets with their heavy weapon, two medium blasters, and two strike teams with sniper.
Saw a lot of Din Sabine in this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it's fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The shooty wooks, if you can ever manage to get a fire support from the Mark IIs, is so much fun.
Yeah, that sounds pretty gross.
Yeah. I've gotten it to happen once, and it was very fun. Anyway, moving on to sixth place was Richard Lavery. This is our first Blizzard Force list. This one, the spin on this one is there's no Vader in this one. So it's Veers, who has commanding presence, strict orders, and electrobinox. And then three Flame Snows with Flame Trooper, Imperial Officer, Recon Intel, and Sonic Imploders. And then two HRUs and four bikes with transponders. So this list, trading out sort of some tech for, and Vader, of course, for just a whole bunch of guns.
Yeah, more guns. Yeah, I've seen that. That's also very effective.
Yeah. And also should a lot of Inspire.
Yep.
Evan, we discussed his list already a little bit. Three shores, three mortars, kind of two death troopers, and Bossk. 2019 list, baby. Now we're into the top four. Sam McHenry. This list name is fun. I came here to take ketamine and spend dodges, and I'm all out of ketamine.
That's the best one that I've seen in a long time. Yeah.
The interesting thing, sort of, that piqued my interest about this is the only list out of the top eight that's not 10 activations. This one is 9. Everything else was 10. So, I don't know. It just seems that 10 is generally the settled upon number.
It's also the only Republic list, right?
It's also the only Republic list.
Yep.
Which it has Pike Capo with Lead by Example, bringing some Inspire to Republic, which they always love. Yoda with Yoda things. Force Push, Force Barrier, Versus Speed, Vigilance. And then Padme with Vigilance. And then our guns. We got two DC-15 Phase 1s, two Pike Syndicate Capos, or Foot Soldiers, sorry. No Capos, but with the rifles. Just unit naked clone phase ones and then echo. So a lot of range 4 and 5 shooting. And then Yoda and Padme doing crazy stuff. This command hand is pretty nuts, especially because like you can spend Yoda's cards most of the game, but right. Padme's are really, really good for like in a pinch or whatever.
Yeah, her 2-pip especially.
And like, so there's probably some games where you never actually spend it, but to be able to have it kind of a sort of in contingencies basically is really nice. And then Mickey, our Polish friend, in third place, with his Imperial officer, Darth Vader, storms, snows, bikes, flame troopers, as I said before. Also, he has ascension cables on his snow troopers with the flames, which is fun. Make some climbing flames.
Yep. And then, that's potentially speed too.
Yeah.
For a turn with the 3-pip. So.
Yeah, especially even at rain or speed 1, like you can often get so much extra movement out of the ascension cables. If you have like a slanted building or something, you can really get some extra range out of them.
Yep.
And then we get into our top two. So Brendan Smith was our runner up. This is a Empire list, but not Blizzard Force. We got Imperial Officer with Improv and Electric Binox. Vader with Burst of Speed, Force Push into the fray, and Seize. And then we have IG-88, so a newer unit. Offensive Push and Targeting Scopes. And then two units of Shores. One of them has Delmico and a Repair Droid, which means you can repair up to 3 wounds off IG-88 in one turn, which is especially if he like fails more saves than he'd like in one shot. Well, just rip 3 of those off right away.
Yep.
And then we got a unit of Shores with T-21, Comms Technician, Targeting Scopes, and Emergency Transponders, which is, to me, an interesting choice.
Means they pretty much always have an aim.
Yeah, because if they have the order, they get an aim. If they don't have the order, they'll proc emergency transponders. Two short or two mortars to both those shores, and then three strike teams. Mm-hmm. So a pretty shooty list with Darth Vader and a bounty hunter for the boot.
You said shooty, right? Shooty. Yeah. Okay. I was like, yeah. Wow, Tim. I mean, it's real op-ed you're having there on that list.
it's the runner-up. I wasn't going to say
right
something bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, the IG-88 with targeting scopes, like his range 3 pool is 3 black, 3 white, search crit. So targeting scopes is pretty fun for that.
Yep.
And then our winner, Kyle Dornbos, who we've Who's discussed that? At length.
At length. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was a great tournament. A lot of cool lists we're seeing. You know, I still think, listen, I know Blizzard Force is good. I understand that. I understand Shadow Collective is good. I still think it's the Wild West. And I hope whatever is coming up in the next few weeks from changes from AMG does not stop what's happening right now. Because I think this is the best Legion has ever been. And I really want to keep it that way. You know, don't pull all the levers. Just one or two. Just pull a couple levers, make a little bit of changes, and move on. Like, that's all we need. Just bring up Gar a little bit, bring down Pikes a little bit. If you just did that, we're good. We're good to go.
Yeah. And then the obvious HRU increase. But if you just did, like, those three things,
yep,
I think that'd be amazing.
But remove a keyword from Pikes. I don't care what one. Just remove one. Or two, you know, maybe two. And then, you know, do some points adjustments on Gar. And then pump up the heavy response units by 10, 15 points. And that's it. Call it a day. Win-win.
Yeah. I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, and since they've said that they... I mean, who knows what as needed means, right? But they have... They're not necessarily on a yearly timeline. So... Mm. You know, if their business model, and we still have yet to see what it is, but if their business model is to do, like, you know, smaller level pulls more frequently, that seems fine. You know, like, if
I guess, but based on where we're at, I don't think that's their business model.
No, I don't think so either, Jay. I'm just trying to be an optimist here.
I'm thinking yearly.
I'm mentally preparing myself for the old, well, all the stuff that needs to be changed is too new. So
it's an interesting thing, right? Yeah. I think the big problem is, Kyle, we started this off with your little thing where, hey, everyone doesn't think Blizzard Force is as nasty as it actually is because we're in the Wild West. You don't, like, people are playing different stuff. Not everyone's going to Blizzard Force or Shadow Collective or, like, what the, like, oh yeah, this guy. I mean, for me, example, I have the army for Separatist Invasion with the 8 heal bots. I'm just choosing not to do it because I know it's going to be miserable, right? Yeah. Like, but I'm pretty sure that would do really, really well when you can't kill anything. What are you going to do? You know?
So I faced a list like that with Blizzard.
A list like that?
Yeah. Okay. It was, I think he only had 6 heal bots, repair bots instead of 8.
That's 4 missing wounds.
Which round was it?
I don't remember. It was in Elims. It was in regional Elims.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant at PAX. No.
Yeah, it was not at PAX. It was for Invader. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Blizzard obviously is not a fair bar for comparison, but I did not have trouble killing stuff. So
okay, you know what, I'll tell you what, once your little concussion thing's over and you can look at screens again, why don't we do it on TTS and we'll just set aside a few hours and we'll do it.
All right, is a date.
I want to know. I'm just curious. It's not even like a cocky, I really want to know.
Yep. All right, that's fair. We can do that. All right.
For science, Kyle. For science.
Yeah, for science.
And also, Grossage probably should out. If anyone wants to see see the results and not hear them, they can check out the article on Fifth Trooper.
Yeah, plug yourself. Or, good job.
Go to the Game Uplink software and you can see all the lists in the entire tournament.
Yep. Well, not all of them. We're working through some kinks. But, you know, basically when you drop, you're no longer in the on the list section anymore.
Down the memory hole.
Yeah. We're working on it.
Okay.
Yeah. Listen, as far as Game Uplink goes, you know, we learned a lot. This was our first big tournament. We've been saying we're in beta. We're not fully launched. So, you know, we've definitely got some kinks. I think we got a lot of cool feedback from the community. And we, if you've been using it at home or at your local tournaments, if you have more feedback, send it to us. We love the feedback. And I think you'll see, you know, we're going to be making a lot of iterations, a lot of changes by LVO are going to happen, and updates and new features and stuff. So, and then hopefully by Worlds, we'll be like in a really good place. But, you know, I've been part of the development process but I was still like really happy at how the software functioned at the tournament. It's just so good. And, you know, I think right now we're just in the tweaks and added features. And I think we'll be like, it's just going to be such a cool piece of software for people to use. I'm like, all the things we have down the road, I'm just so excited about. And so I was just happy. It went really well this weekend for us. So,
I mean, throughout the weekend is sort of on the Discord scene, what was being discussed about the software. It wasn't, oh my God, the whole thing's come crumbling down. It was like, oh, we need this like very specific adjustment.
Yeah.
And in product design, once you start doing that, it means the whole thing is generally working pretty well.
Yeah, so that means things are all right. Yeah, yeah.
And like, and writing the article, it was fun. This is the easiest to work with way of getting lists, because often it's literally like, a DM from like the TO. Yeah. Here's the top eight.
We're gonna make it even easier. So as easy as it is now, like we know that it can be easier to use. There's a lot of stuff we saw at the tournament that we're gonna tweak and make better for the next tournament. And so, you know, ideally, as time goes by, we're making changes, we're making updates, we're adding features. So I'm very excited. It's gonna get even better than it is today. So thank you for all your feedback. Thanks for using it. You know, thanks for supporting us. Like, yeah, just thanks. Thanks for staying this long into the podcast.
Yep.
You're the real all-star. You know, we wanted to do a short one, Kyle, and we really didn't even do that.
We literally about an hour, right?
I mean, whenever we say it's shorter. Whenever we say we're going to do a short one, do a like medium length one. We say we're going to do a medium length one. It's a long one.
Kyle and I always threaten half an hour, and it just never like I'm so happy when we say it, but it like at the end I'm just like, son of a, we did never it happens. Again. Yep. I know.
One of these days.
Okay. Oh, and if you're listening still and you're still here, next week we're going to be delayed by a couple of days as well, just because we've got like vacations and family stuff going on. So we're going to be delayed a few days next week, which may be good because it'll give us time to digest and whatever happens this week with the points or whatever they're releasing, you know, we'll be able to see that. So
yeah, and look for a blog article on the site on the points.
Yeah,
at some point.
Yep.
Oh. I'm excited for that.
Yes, me too.
All right. Well, any final thoughts?
No. Oh, it's good to see you this weekend, Kyle.
Yeah, it was great. Mm. Yeah. Jay and I, we haven't actually seen each other. I mean, we see each other every week, but we haven't like physically seen each other in a long time.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to hang.
Yep. All right. Well, we learned Notorious.
Wow.
You know, it's impressive that I made it this far without.
See, this is why I didn't want to do it last week. Our outro was, I was like, nah, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Start over.
Okay. Yep. We are the Notorious Scoundrels. I'm Kyle.
I'm Jay.
I'm Timbo.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.
Bye.